Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
One of the signs of impending birth is donuts. You look at the pig's teats and you're supposed to look for donuts. So every single day we were going out into the barn, Kay was like, look for donuts, look for donuts.
I was like, yeah, I will.
So I had donuts.
I'm always looking for donuts.
That's literally how I spend every day of my life, just looking for donuts.
Dying chickens. A surprise pig birth, and the story of trying to save the life of a little deformed piglet. We have an incredible show in store for you. Don't go anywhere. The first big news we have to share with you in today's show, we actually have completed our huge fencing project. Everybody, I'm here with Glenn from Martin & Son Fencing. Glenn is here with his team this week. They're doing our long-awaited, we've been talking about this, Glenn, for like a year. We've been telling the audience we're going to be getting high tensile fencing. We are so excited. You would have thought the president rolled in this morning when everybody was like, he's here. Actually, we're more excited than even if the president showed up. Glenn is the most popular man on this farm today. What are you guys doing? What's step one, Glenn?
Okay, step one, we're going around. To introduce, we are putting up a high tensile wire perimeter fence around Austin's field up here. And so the first step is to go around and mark off where we want to put our post, especially our corner post, because the corners are the most strategic parts. Because in a high tensile fence, your ends and corners is where all the strain gets. So we're going around and setting them, and then we're striking lines between the corners wherever we can go straight.
You guys got that awesome machine. It's drilling and it's pounding. What does that do for you?
As long as the ground is fit enough, we can just pound the post straight in. We don't need to point the ends, don't need to dig normally, just pound them straight in. But today,
unfortunately,
we're on top of a hill.
We live on a mountain.
There's a lot of shale and it's actually really dry up on the hill, so we're already having to auger.
Yeah, so that'll add a little bit of time to the project. But all in all, this install, if everything goes smoothly, we're looking at just a couple of days. And for us, that's really, really exciting because our animals are ready to hit the grass. It's already growing really, really nicely. They're looking at me through the fence line right now. They're angry. They're not out. So the quicker we're done, the quicker they're out, and we're grazing animals. What's our next step, Glenn?
Okay, so once we have the corner posts set and solid, and then we'll pound the line posts. Once the posts are all in, we're going to be building our braces. Actually, wow. The one team's doing the posts, Jordan and I are gonna be going around building braces a while.
Awesome.
So then once the braces are up, we're gonna start tacking up wire.
Awesome. All right, well, I don't wanna hold you up anymore. Let's get to work. That's great.
So we've been on the job an extra day because we ran into some really hard shale. Austin's property here has some really good hard shale. It's great for packing, but it made it actually for a whole extra day of digging. We pounded the first maybe one third or one quarter of the posts, but then we had to auger the rest because it was so hard we just couldn't pound. Once we had the posts in, then we went around and built our braces, the end braces, corner braces, and strung out the wire. I wasn't here for that, but we ran the wire around six strands. The wire comes in rolls. It's 4,000 foot rolls, and we have what we call a spinning Jenny. We drop the roll of wire onto it, and just we have it on the front of our Kubota RTV, and we drive around the fence line just unwrapping the wire as we go. The plastic or rubber insulators, we slide them all on from the one end and string them out as we go. They're what they call tube insulators. is what we used on this project.
We've been at this a couple days now, and we're finally, it's funny, for like 2 days it looked like nothing changed, yeah. And now it looks done. There's like a beautiful high tensile fence behind us here.
Yeah, a lot of the work goes into actually putting the posts in.
That's
especially
so
on this
much.
Job where
yeah.
the ground was so hard.
Yeah.
So a lot of our energy and time went into putting the posts in.
I couldn't believe it, because earlier today you were still pounding posts, and I'm thinking like, oh man, it's gonna be another couple days. And then I looked and, oh, the fence is done.
Yeah.
There's still a few more things, a couple gates that gotta go up. And then we are gonna do another big project down here later in the week, so we'll show that in another video. But as far as the high tensile fence goes, by the end of today we're going to be able yeah. to get some animals out on pasture, which is incredible. We've been waiting for this a long time, so I can't thank you guys enough, Glenn. You did a beautiful job. This fencing looks great. It's going to work great, and Glenn assured me those posts are never coming out. Your team, man, they're hard workers. I was watching them jackhammering and slamming stuff in. Glenn, if people want to get a hold of you for a fencing job, what area do you work in, and how do they reach you?
Okay, so we're centered out of Blair County, Pennsylvania, the town of Martinsburg and Williamsburg. Our business name is Martin and Son Fencing, LLC, and we do have a Facebook page. You can find us on Facebook, on Google. We don't really have a website at this point.
I can help you out with that. I know a thing or two. Well, Glenn's been awesome. His crew's been great. If you're looking for somebody in the PA area, you know, to do some fencing, I can't recommend you guys enough. You've been great.
Appreciate that.
Yep. We'll update you as the project continues, but man, at the end of this video, you're gonna see, I mean, we're gonna have cows out on pasture, drones flying over. It's gonna be beautiful. So stay tuned.
That looked super easy, that whole project.
When you put like music to it, and fast motion.
A little drone.
Oh man, it's like HGTV. That's what gets you in trouble. Everybody in the chat's gonna be like, oh man, that's so easy. I should totally do that on my homestead. And then like a year later, it'll be done.
Yeah, for us, that would have taken probably months to do.
Oh my goodness.
Because they ended up running into like giant rocks that they needed to jackhammer.
They ran into Pennsylvania is what they ran into.
So they should have been expecting it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were literally jackhammering out there to get some of those posts in.
Yeah, I remember that the original project was supposed to be 3 days. And I came out on day two. They were still doing the holes. And I saw the guys holding a, like,
because they had an auger, is it called, for the machine?
Yeah.
An auger to drill the holes when they got rough. But they could not use the auger to do this.
No, they were literally like, digga, 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 digga. I was like, oh no, this is going to take a month. But it didn't. It didn't
because
take a month.
Because we weren't doing it.
Yeah, it took a week and a couple days, and literally our animals are out there on pasture. We've been talking about this project for a while, and if you're really interested in the design and how the fence works and all that, in the summertime, after we've like worked with the fence and we got the whole system down, we're going to be doing a whole series on high tensile fencing, electric fencing, all that in collaboration with Kenco Fencing. They're the ones who sponsored the project. But that's coming this summer, so stay tuned for that. Today we have a million and two things to talk about.
Yeah, I have to say this is our first real fence we've ever had on our property. Even the one in Connecticut, when we first started homesteading about 10 years ago, we were dragging rolls of rusted fencing out of the woods that the previous owner had left there. But it's...
Babe, it wasn't even fencing. The previous owner had done a project. They had poured a foundation, and he had the rolls of the metal that you lay into a foundation.
Is that what it was?
It wasn't even fencing. It was like the wire that you put in a foundation when you're going to pour the concrete.
Well, that makes more sense why he had it there.
Yeah, it was in the woods there. And we were like, perfect, we can use this because we're poor and that can work.
And metal-free rods that he got from someone that he welded to cut in half. It was the ugliest fencing that I've ever seen, ever. Because then we put, because we were keeping goats in, we put sections of wood through those posts to make the fence taller to keep the goats in.
Yeah.
It was awful. So to have this really nice, professionally installed fencing,
it's a
thing of beauty.
We match so nicely today. Like our blue colors on, our Homesteady shirts. If you want a Homesteady shirt, we got links below. Homesteady swag. Plenty of good stuff. Thanks for letting us know in the chat box that you can see us and you can hear us and where you're from and what's going on in your life. We are watching the chat box. Of course, we'd like to thank our mods at the beginning of the show. We have a couple mods with us today. They keep the chat nice and clean to make sure all the crazies stay out. So thank you, mods, for your hard work. We did not do a live show last Monday because I actually did a live show with another channel that Saturday, and so we skipped Monday. So in the week and a half we've been gone, so many things have happened on this homestead. And in addition to the big fencing project, animal-wise, we've grown. We have literally like 20 more animals on this homestead right now. And you're going to learn about a lot of those today. And then some things went wrong, some things went right. So let's dive in.
Coming into last week, they started working on the fencing project, which meant we're kind of out of the field, just keeping everybody contained near the barn. Then they started working on the paddock fencing because those were rusted and falling down. Coming into Thursday of last week, our paddock fencing was down, which meant everybody was pigs. Everybody was needing to be moved every day so the guys could take down more fencing, put up fencing. It was chaos.
Yeah, just
chaos.
Such chaos. And we were a little bit concerned because we were preparing for a pig to give birth. You may have been following along our Cooney Cooney journey over the last year. Back in the spring, we brought Cooney Coonies onto the homestead, and we brought a couple sows, or I should say gilts at the time, and we brought on three boars with the idea that we would pick our favorite Cooney Cooney boar and breed him with our gilts, and we would take our other two that weren't our favorites and we would eat them.
Which is what we did.
Yeah.
They were delicious.
They were really good. The sows, we were watching. Kay had been watching everybody. They were in the paddocks together seeing if there was breeding happening, and she observed some breeding, so we took notes and we had our idea of around when to expect the birth. And we were watching both of them, the two different gilts, and watching the dates. And our initial thought, the initial time period kind of passed. We thought, all right, well, maybe we missed that first cycle. We'll watch for the next cycle. One of the gilts started really showing signs.
Really filling out, very round. She was filling with milk.
And
so we were on like high alert.
Yeah.
Like, okay, get her in the barn. Get her ready for these babies.
Yeah.
And of course, was it the day before we pulled her in the barn? The next day was cold. Cold, cold, cold. Like below freezing.
Yeah, so we're figuring, oh great, it's cold day. Of course she's going to give birth. So we brought her into the barn because, like Kay said, our fencing was down. It was just chaos all over the place outside. We thought, we'll bring her into the barn. We set up the heat lamp. We got the straw. And you'll see this in the upcoming vlog. We were like checking her overnight, expecting it.
Yeah, we had the camera. So every few hours I was waking up, he was waking up, checking the camera. And it's the middle of the night, so my eyes saw so many piglets being born.
On the camera.
On the camera that were just like, just where the hay had been displaced. So I saw a little bit of the stall mat poking through. I took a picture to show us and I said, because that looks so much like a piglet at 2 a.m., but it wasn't. Night after night.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
It wasn't. So then we were like, all right, well, we kept her in the stall. Then we noticed Tiny. So our first gilt, her name is Munchkin.
Yeah.
And we hadn't actually named her up until this point. The reason we named her Munchkin, one of the signs of impending birth is donuts. You look at the pig's teats and you're supposed to look for donuts. So every single day we were going out into the barn, Kay was like, look for donuts, look for donuts.
I was like, yeah, I will.
So I had donuts.
I'm always looking for donuts.
That's literally how I spend every day of my life, just looking for donuts. So I went out to the barn every day looking for donuts, and I'm thinking like, oh, donuts, donuts. What should we name this pig? She deserves a name. She's about to give birth. And I thought, she's a little Cooney Cooney, they're small. So I thought of like, small, what are small donuts? Oh, Munchkins, right? You get the little donut holes at Dunkin' Donuts. So we named her Munchkin, and it worked really well because the other gilt, her name was Tiny.
She came to us named Tiny for obvious reasons.
Yeah, she was the tiniest of her group. And I always thought it was funny because the person we bought her from, we had already paid a deposit. And she showed up.
It was like very early in COVID days. We got those gilts. I think it was February or March COVID days.
Yeah, so we couldn't be picky.
No, we just met them in the parking lot of Tractor Supply.
Yeah, if we have a pig, we're going to take it and be grateful we have a pig. So she unloaded them. She's like, oh, yeah, there you go. That one's tiny. She was the smallest of the bunch. We're like, oh, great. We got the run. All right. Well, we'll take her. It's COVID. We'll take any pig we can get. So Tiny and Munchkin were our two gilts. And Munchkin, we were watching. We just started noticing, hey, look, Tiny is starting to
pop.
Yeah.
She's really starting to look like, okay, she will be giving birth as well.
So we were sitting down for morning coffee, and my parents were actually visiting. We were getting ready for a big day with them and some farm work and some farm tours, and Kay and I were sitting down having coffee, and my son comes running up to the house, bangs on the door and says, quick, Tiny, she's got a little pig with her.
And she's with the boars.
We were literally sitting down to coffee saying like, all right, where should we put Tiny? How are we going to make some room with all this fencing being down? And all of a sudden we stumbled upon what was the very first pig birth at our homestead ever.
We got pigs being born.
They're filming the baby pigs are being born. Another one's popping out right now.
Looks like four so far.
As you can see, we were not expecting any pig births. I got my robe on.
You want to explain to the YouTube world why you're dressed in a robe right now?
We just did a sleepover at our grandparents. They're staying for a little while. And so Grampy came out. He likes the pigs a lot, so he came out and he saw the baby pig. And then he said, there's a baby pig out there, like a little one. And then he pointed to Tiny and I was like, oh, it's just Tiny. And then I saw the baby pig behind Tiny's back and then I was like, oh, I better run get Daddy.
What did you say when you ran to the house?
Tiny's in with the boars and she has a piglet.
Yeah.
So now you're going to have a bunch of pigs here because you're going to have pigs with the other one, right?
Yes, we are.
She made a nice little nest. She did a good job. They're beautiful. Look how beautiful this speckled one is. You're a grandpa.
I have
some. Look, it found the nanny. I have so much pigs, he said.
He doesn't want any.
Yeah, he's doing a great job.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I have so much pigs. That's yep, that's us right now. I have so much pigs.
That's us, so much pigs. He's a grandpa, piggy grandpa.
Yeah.
She did fantastically. She laid down, she made herself that bed. Austin and his dad ran out and put the boars. They got them behind a fence, paddocked them off. The boars weren't being aggressive at all.
Yeah, it was the weirdest thing. They were all kind of gathered around Tiny. And they were sitting there, like, watching, circled around her. Nobody messing with her. Tiny had made that little nest. She was laying there, popping them out. I wish I had gotten that on camera. It was the coolest thing to see. Just all the boars just, like, watching, like, oh, this is cool. And who knows? We've heard stories about, you know, boars being more aggressive, causing problems. So who knows what would have happened if we hadn't been able to, you know, move them back. But it was very cool to see. They were just kind of, like, checking it out. Oh, cool. New pigs.
And she was calm. She laid down. She didn't get up from first piglet to last piglet. She didn't move at all. It was really amazing to see. I've never seen a pig give birth, and now we have seen a few. So I know how nice it is to have a pig like Tiny, who was so calm and not worried, just really popping them out, just popping out those babies.
You know, we would have, if we had seen the signs from Tiny like we did from Munchkin, we were actually that morning, we were talking about moving her into the barn. And we personally, if you've watched enough of the Homesteady Birth videos, you've seen, we don't necessarily always intervene in a birth. There's some births that have gone off without a hitch here on the homestead, and we like to stand back and observe. But we like to be ready to help if there are any issues. We have had issues with certain births. I can think of Lacey, our goat, who had trouble. She had a really big
especially buck. First-timers. We don't know with our goats. They were first-timers, first-time fresheners. We didn't know how they would react to their kids. Not perfectly.
Yeah.
They both needed help allowing their kids to nurse. Ladybug had had a calf already. She did great with her. So we didn't have to do a thing with Luna. These, I wasn't sure how the gilt would react, how Tiny would react. Also, it was outside. I didn't want the piglets getting chilled, which is why I dried them off pretty fast and put them on her to make sure everybody was eating right away. Thankfully, the weather changed and we got out of that freezing cold, and it was beautiful and sunny. Not hot, but warm enough in the sun that the piglets were all warm.
Yeah. And eventually, once everything settled down, we were able to get Tiny to come on into the barn so we could keep an eye on her and her piglets. And they're all doing fantastic. From Tiny's lot, we had the 7. Now, as you'll see in the upcoming vlogs, we are going to share all this in vlog form. Sure enough, eventually Munchkin did go and...
The next day.
Yeah.
That next night, she finally ended up having her babies. And the signs, she was very obvious in her signs.
Yeah, so different.
We were looking for signs all that last week, and every move she made, is she nesting? Look at her, she's in the ground, is she nesting? Oh, she got up and laid back down. It was obvious when she was nesting.
Yeah, yeah, and you'll see, I'm gonna have a video, Munchkins was like the picture perfect what to look for if your pig's about to give birth. We saw, you know, the large size, the teats getting bigger, the donuts appearing, the milk showing, the nesting, everything like picture perfect. Tiny, just out of the blue.
We did, because it was getting down to freezing those nights, we moved Tiny inside into a stall with a heat lamp so she and the piglets could go into there. In a stall that Munchkin had been in like all week with a heat lamp that she'd been sunbathing under all week. Nice nice and comfy.
We were worried she was faking it just so she could have that nice in the barn, relaxing,
cozy, you know, experience.
Living that best pig life.
And I don't know how much you want to talk about Munchkin's birth and how different it was than Tiny's, her farrowing.
Yeah, there was a real big difference between the two.
As mothers, they were very different, and we don't know why. Maybe it was because Munchkin's a bigger pig. She was inside longer, so she had been getting pampered a little bit more. Her piglets may have been a little larger, and she did not pop them out like Tiny did hers.
Yeah, and we're really curious. You know, there's a lot of things that can cause these issues, and unfortunately, we'll just never know. But looking back, Tiny was literally outside living her normal pig life,
fighting the boars over food,
just walking around, yeah. You know, the farm,
following the chicken tractors, eating all the feed.
Yeah, she was out in the pastures, running around, getting exercise, moving and moving and moving. And she didn't show super signs, so we hadn't, you know, kind of sectioned her off. We hear a lot from people who raise Cooney Coonies that they literally like are walking around, and then suddenly the sow will disappear into the woods, and the next day she comes out with, you know, all her piglets in tow. And that is exactly what Tiny would have done.
Yeah.
She made the nest, she got ready, shot him out. We babied Munchkin. We took her inside. We gave her her own, you know,
her rations.
Yeah, and kept her, you know, and she laid around in the stall, and maybe because she wasn't moving around so much,
I don't know, but she I helped a little bit with the first piglet birth because she had been contracting for so long. She got that one out and screamed as it was coming out. And then she jumped up and ran away from it. Like, what did you just do to me? So for the first 3 or 4 piglets, everyone that came out, she'd stand up, scream, and run away from them. And then she started kind of charging them. She was so different.
Yeah.
Now it is her first time. So.
And we hear that a lot. When it comes to births, you never judge the mother from the first birth. So although Munchkin was a little more aggressive, she did eventually settle down. You'll see in the vlog, I stayed up a little bit. It went into the night late, and I stayed up waiting.
3 a.m.
You want to wait till you see that afterbirth and make sure they're actually done. So as time kept going on, she got a little bit more calm, a little more used to what was happening, and we haven't had any more aggression with her piglets.
Shane did mention about feeder the moms being aggressive, the bigger pigs, and we don't let the kids, we let them in with Tiny. She was very sedate, kind of knocked out.
Yeah.
Now that the moms are bigger, they can, the piglets are getting older, the moms can be a little more protective of them. So the kids don't go in with them if the moms are in there. Even though they're smaller pigs, they still... We don't want to be in with them when they're getting protective of their babies.
Yeah, even though they're smaller, they're still a force. But yeah, the difference... what we saw in Tiny was a fantastic birth. Just like picture perfect. Mm-hmm. We saw...
Easy, so easy.
Very, very natural mothering.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like great. And Munchkin, a little more aggression, not as easy of a birth. So yeah, we'll have to see.
We were about to use the beer. Austin brought it out to the barn. They'll say if a mother's not nursing, if she's too anxious, to give her a beer, kind of settle her down and let the babies nurse.
Instead, I had the beer, so.
So it worked out okay.
So all in all, it was a really cool experience having piglets for the first time on the homestead.
How many did they each have? Did we say that yet?
Oh, 7 and 7.
7 and 7. They both had the same. And Munchkin was huge compared to Tiny.
Yeah, I was betting 11 out of Munchkin.
We were betting, double at least what Tiny had, but they each had 7.
Yeah, it was cool. And it was a full moon. It was like exactly what you expect.
Tiny had 2 girls, 5 boys. Munchkin had 3 girls, 4 boys. So it's definitely boy heavy this year.
Yeah, lots of boys. And of the boys versus the girls, there were one, would you classify as a runt, technically?
No.
No, okay.
Of the boys?
No, the girls.
Oh, the girls, yeah.
Right.
So she was the runt.
One of Tiny's.
She's the one you can see me holding there with the little white dot on her head. She's black with a little white dot on her head, little stripes.
Yeah, so that's Tiny, too.
She's little. Look at the size difference.
Yeah.
And it took her longer to latch. What I ended up doing was milking a little bit of the colostrum from Tiny and giving it to the baby by a syringe. So that kind of perked her up a little bit. I know some have since told me you could use corn syrup or honey if they need a little bit of sugar to help them. But that perked her up. And you can see right after that, she really started like looking for the milk.
Yeah, we were worried because, you know, a runt...
We both came into this with a different opinion.
Yeah.
About runts.
Usually we come into our homesteading life with different opinions.
Shocker.
I come in more like the farmer trying to run a business, make some money.
Yeah, see how tiny she's
grow some
she's
food.
That one right in the front.
Yeah, she's tiny too. I mean, look at her siblings like crawling over her. She's not that one. She's the one underneath that.
Yeah,
one.
She's that little black one.
So Tiny too. Before
look at me, I'm like, no.
Before she even showed up, I had said coming into this birth to Kay, I was like, you know, this is a pig birth. We're going to have lots and lots of, little piglets, and we can't baby the runts. We can't be nursing long runts. If we get a runt, we got to let nature take its course. I'm Farmer Oss. I'm going to do the farmer thing.
And I said, well, we'll see.
I believe what you said is, I'm not going to watch something die.
No.
Yeah.
Sounds like something I would say. Not if I could do something about it. I was reading through about commercial pig operations who, if they have enough sows or gilts, will take the tiniest piglets from litters and put them on a sow, maybe had a smaller litter. They make it like a tiny, like little runt litter, so they don't have so much competition from the bigger piglets. Because there's still value. in these little pigs, get them a good start. I mean, look at Tiny. Still tiny, but she gave us nice little piglets.
That's the thing. Tiny was technically the runt of her litter, and yet of the two of them, she was a better mom. So as far as like mothering goes, depending on what we're breeding for, good natural birth, good natural mothering instinct, Tiny's looking better right now. So
right, and it's hard with Cooney Coonies because there are people who breed them for pets, so they will be breeding for a smaller pig. People who are going to be breeding them for meat will want a bigger pig.
Yeah, and you know, Cooney Coonies, it's not like your first go-to meat thing, but if you're a homesteader and it's one of the reasons you have pigs, it's something to consider. So it's one of those discussions we thought it's interesting to have, because when you're a farmer and you're trying to make money, most farmers I've met love their animals. I've never met a farmer who didn't love the animals and want to care for the animals and do
and
right by them.
I bet anyone who's grown up on a farm has a story about a pig in the kitchen by the wood stove, or a calf there, maybe chicks that were outside and it was too cold.
Yeah.
I think every farmer has a story about the animals that they worked harder to save.
But at the same time, you do have to make more business-focused decisions. Think about your time, your energy, your effort, and how long and how far you will go to try to save something. When you approach things as a homesteader, that line can shift a little bit, because while you're doing it for maybe food, maybe even a little side income, you're also doing it as a hobby. You're doing it maybe because you like just having the animals around more like a pet. And this situation we were faced with this second birth, Munchkin's birth, we got a situation that kind of made that very, very clear and is currently right now like that. One of the little piglets was born with a little deformity. It has a
cleft lip, maybe a cleft palate. It's hard to see. It's not a large cleft palate. It's mostly the cleft lip that's causing him the issues, which means he can't suck.
So obviously a little piglet that cannot suck is not going to survive left with its
mother,
you know, with its litter there.
So obviously it's not with its litter right now.
Inside our home. Now there's a pig living inside our house. I thought the duck people were reared.
Well.
this little piglet.
Isn't that part of the story? This little piglet stayed home?
Yeah, this little piglet did stay home. Kind of worked itself into the family's hearts.
Which isn't hard for a piglet to do. You can see his little cleft lip there. Because piglets, my dad always says, there's nothing cuter than a baby pig. And piglets are really cute. Add to that bringing them inside and kind of having them with their four little feet click, click, clicking on the floor.
Yeah.
Like little high heels. And they are absolutely just captivating.
The cat was trying to figure out, like, is this a rat or a mouse? It moves a little different.
It smells good.
It's a mouse with really nice hands.
It smells like milk, so he likes that. It gives the piglet a little lick after he eats.
The piglet can't naturally feed off of its mother. Obviously, as a piglet grows, it doesn't just nurse anymore. It starts eating regular food. And the long term, because of the way this cleft lip is, there is a chance that this piglet could actually survive if in the early days it's nursed along. So
it has been thoroughly nursed.
It's very much nursed.
2 days old now, and he's having milk from a syringe, goat's milk from a syringe. I actually utilized a Facebook group about mini pigs who have been either orphaned or taken away from their mother too soon to give me instructions on how to help this little piglet. Will this help? He's in the house under the heat lamp. He's happy. He's running around. His belly's full. I don't know. I wish I could say yes for my 4-year-old's sake, but we've talked to him about animals die, and we try the best we can, but sometimes they just get sick and they won't make it. The risk is inhaling the milk because stuff's open and is the roof of his mouth. If he inhales it into his lungs, gets pneumonia. It's hard. It's a hard decision to make. How long do you want to nurse that along?
And it's one of those decisions as a homesteader you're gonna be faced with, like, this often. You're going to be faced with animals that are sick, animals that are deformed or have, you know, weakness, runts.
Right, and it's never something you want to breed. We are not going to breed this pig. He's a little boy.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, we got some advice from our IPP, our IPP peeps, about as far as breeding goes, if you were to find it again from Munchkin, another one. They said breed her again, but if you were to see this come up again, at that point you would not want to, because it can be caused from different things.
It could be nutritional, some deficiencies. It could also be hereditary.
Right. So if we were to see it again, at that point we'd want to say, all right, no more breeding for Munchkin's line. But yeah, that question of how far do you go for an animal? When do you try to
And it's amazing save it? Because he's a pig who probably would go to be a feeder, right? Odds are we have a lot of boys absolutely. In this group. We may sell him to be a feeder pig. But all of a sudden, that changes.
Yeah.
You bring him inside. You're taking care of him. He gets a name. Like, well, if he survives, he's going to be our pet pig.
I guess Homesteady will have a mascot. How's that?
And now I know why people get pet piglets, at least. I always wondered about people with pet pigs because I see pigs.
Yeah.
I know how destructive, nosy, smart pigs are. Like, how could you keep something like that in your house and stay sane? But if you start with a piglet, I think you just get hooked.
Oh.
You get suckered in.
So there's that side, right? There's the side of the animal that even though there's a problem, you decide, you know what, I like this animal, I want to try to help it, and then you grow attached to it. We were faced with yet another problem with animals this last couple weeks on the homestead. And because of the nature of these animals, we're taking things a different direction.
We were not attached.
In the last couple weeks, we started noticing our Cornish crosses, which we are raising for meat. One purpose, meat birds. They don't make a good pet. They don't live a long life.
No, they don't live long enough.
We're going to show you a video of what we started finding, and then we're going to talk about, in our new segment, another disease I learned about from Homesteady.
This all really started
a few days ago, maybe a week ago.
We moved the chickens out into the tractors, you'll remember, and everybody looked good and happy, and we were moving them along. And each morning we started finding a couple dead chickens.
Yeah, sometimes one, sometimes two. And we noticed some other ones were starting to look a little run down, weren't moving as much.
Yeah.
So we knew something was going on. See the comb?
Open mouth breathing. What do you notice about the comb?
It's bluer, not red. Even comparing these two. See how much bluer that one looks?
Hear that noise? He's wheezing.
Yeah.
Like fluid. Look at that. Look at that. That's not normal.
Water belly.
So this has been our like morning routine. Let's go out and find more dead chickens or dying chickens. And as you saw in that video, we went from finding dead chickens, which then you say, okay, what's going wrong here? Then you start to find more dying chickens.
Because with Cornish, it's not unusual to find one dead. They're prone to heart issues. They grow so fast, they're just not designed to have a long life. So it's not unusual to find it.
Right.
But at this number that we've been having, that is unusual. And for those who wonder, no, this has never happened to us before. We're not used to losing such a high number of our chicks and the chickens in the last 10 years that we've done them.
We started doing some research to try to figure out what's going wrong. Why are we seeing above average death with the Cornish? And checking out their symptoms, figuring out, okay, what's different than just, you know, you have Cornish, we'll get a heart attack and they'll drop dead. But what is different or unique about this bunch?
Yeah, why so many?
And just reading through people's blog posts, vlogs, and then looking at the research papers, trying to find, is there a disease? I was really worried that this was some kind of weird disease. Maybe I actually joked, maybe we gave our birds COVID and they're all dying of COVID.
It's a funny joke, right?
Real time, timeless humor.
Because we are seeing them turning blue, right? So that's saying the blood oxygen is not being pumped through them like it should be. So there's something strange going. This happened to one of our roosters last year. We noticed that he was going through what we think was heart failure. So his comb was turning blue and he ended up, we butchered him because we knew he was dying.
Yeah. So in all our research, I stumbled across this condition. I've got to be careful of my terms here.
Yeah.
It's a condition called ascites.
A-S-C-I-T-E-S. People get this too.
Yep. And basically, another term will be used to describe as water belly. And what you will find when you cut open the bird, because we did an autopsy, we cut open one.
That's what butchering for eating is called. Butchering to make sure they're okay to eat, I guess.
It's called an autopsy. We found, once we started seeing ones were dying, we decided, you know what, let's, before they actually die, let's, you know, butcher one and see what's going on. Because if it's a disease, obviously we don't want to eat something that's diseased. If we find a bird dead and we don't know why it died, we don't like to eat a bird like that. So we're not going to eat a bird that we found dead. But if there's one that's getting sicker or getting weaker.
Some of us have no problem eating it.
Others wanted to make sure it was not a disease that was going to be passed to us. So we did the research. We found out about this ascites. We found out what to look for. And then we cut one open to see, is this what we're dealing with? So basically, ascites can happen to your Cornish crosses. They are genetically
predisposed to it.
More likely to have this issue. They basically get a weak heart. Their body, because their heart cannot work properly, fluid will build up in their system. They'll get actual like water in their belly. If you jiggle the bird or push on its belly, you'll see like blah, 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 blah. It jiggles, it's watery. When you cut them open, they kind of pop. The kids are laughing.
Yeah, the first one I did, I saw was getting sick. Austin was away. They were picking up a piglet. And I butchered it. But it had been a long time since I butchered birds. And all this fluid came out. And I thought, okay, maybe I just don't remember that. And I didn't mention it to you until he started reading through these symptoms that would come from ascites. And that was one of them, a yellowish fluid filling the cavity. I said, that happened when I butchered that bird.
It's
I opened
gross.
It up and it all came out.
It's like you popped a balloon full of pee.
You'd think like maybe it's pee, yeah.
Yeah, it was
really... And a chicken.
The kids love this.
They like that imagery, a balloon full of pee.
Gross. It was, and their heart, if you've ever eaten a chicken heart is like a bouncy ball. It's firm, it's strong little muscle. These hearts are like jello. They're flabby, mushy. We didn't even want to eat it because it's just like a nasty, flabby piece of flab.
What can cause this in Cornish cross can be high altitude. So they're not a bird to raise in a high altitude setting. Or extremely cold weather when they're young, when they're chicks.
If you watched our vlog about chick death in our recent series about raising meat birds, you'll remember we had a wicked cold snap. It was like 65 degrees, and then the next morning we woke up to sub 30 degree weather, and we lost a lot of chicks, and this was very early on in their life. And ascites is especially likely to happen with your Cornish crosses if they're subjected to above normal cold temperature, or below normal colder temperatures at a young age.
Even while they're still in the egg.
Yeah. And this is the crazy part is you'll have the die-off from the ones that got cold and weren't strong enough to fight
it. Yeah, the initial die-off.
But the ascites is something that, while triggered from that event when they were young, won't start to show itself till they're 3 to 8 weeks old.
So in the later part of their life. It is a genetic thing. Hatcheries could breed Cornish cross that are less genetically predisposed to this, but it becomes a matter of they like the big, fast-growing birds with large breasts, so this is what's happening.
Yeah.
For us, this hatchery we've been using, I don't think our next batch of Cornish will order from them. If we order our next batch of Cornish at all, We've done Freedom Rangers in the past, Red Rangers, whatever you want to call them. The product, the chickens were so similar, the product was fine, but not worth, I feel like, the 4 weeks extra that it took to grow them. But we haven't had a great last two batches of Cornish.
Oh man, it's been a bad couple of years of Cornish. And we are talking about, we haven't made a decision. We'll decide this in the winter when we're sitting there and trying to order.
But this is something to remember about Cornish. They're so delicate.
Yeah.
This really, they're already a delicate machine. And if you add that stress of cold days when they're chicks, 5, 6, 7 weeks later, we're having chickens die because of what happened when they were chicks, and you can't do anything about it.
And these are big 7-pound birds that...
Not seven. Not yet.
They're...
Maybe now, but the ones
today,
that started dying
the ones
were,
I picked up and
the
threw
one
out,
I did, I think, was a 3-pounder. They weren't this big yet.
Today, we have 7-pound chickens dropping dead that we have filled with $10-$15 worth of feed, spent almost 2 months.
Don't go through the numbers, it'll depress you.
And we're down from almost 50% loss from that one cold snap. Not from the initial cold death, but because of now this ascites condition that they have. And at this point, there's nothing we can do except figure out who's weak and say, okay, you're gonna die, you're gonna die, you're gonna die. Butcher, butcher, butcher.
And that's what we started doing. If we saw a few that we knew would be dead the next day, we took and butchered them because the meat's still fine to eat.
Not a disease. Can't be
the meat
transferred
is darker,
to a person.
Though, than you would get from one who doesn't have this.
Yeah. So the good news is if you can identify, based off the symptoms we told you, if you can say, hey, I'm dealing with ascites, it's not a disease. There's nothing wrong with the meat. They can't give you that condition. So you should have, if you find the chicken alive but it's weak, you can kill it like you always do. We went and put them in the killing cones, went ahead and, you know, bled the chicken, butchered the chicken, and we have some delicious, good quality meat just a little bit
earlier than we expected.
Yeah, a little earlier. And we're moving our butcher day forward this week as soon as we can get it done because every single day we're losing more.
And we know don't have chicks, especially Cornish chicks.
This is the big lesson, yeah.
When you can still expect to have cold snaps, which for us, we're coming into May, we're still having minus 30 degree weather, which would be too cold for the chicks if the heat lamps couldn't keep up with that.
Yeah, even if you're prepared, this is what got us. We were prepared in the barn for the temperature. Our barn is an insulated barn and we have heat lamps and things, but you adjust to the weather you're getting. So you go from, all right, it's 40 out, let's have 3 heat lamps on, ready to go. Oh, it's 50 out, let's take one away, and the chicks are a little older. Okay, we're 2 weeks in, the chicks don't need it to be 90 degrees anymore. So as you're adjusting, and then the next day, boom, you get hit with 20 degrees, 15 degrees in the morning. If you're not ready for that, that can, as we have learned from this experience, especially something so flimsy as a Cornish cross.
Flimsy, poor Cornish cross. Delicate. How about delicate?
Delicate, though, is like a nice word.
It's,
I don't know.
They're, who says it? Joel Salatin says they're like a Ferrari, right?
Is that what he says?
Yeah. They're a delicate machine.
Yeah.
Like I know about Ferraris.
So I don't know. Maybe you'll find we don't do Cornish again. This is a perfect illustration of the choice as a homesteader. When things go wrong with your animals, we got a little pig living in our house right now. We're trying to nurse back to health. And at the same time, we're going out and butchering 3 or 4 birds every morning.
But let's talk about these birds. Because Austin's parents were in. And we were going to the zoo that day. He got a chicken out of the tractor that he said was going to be dead. So we put it, I had a heat lamp set up in the garage with a box for chicks. So I took him, Mr. 6-pound Cornish, stuck him in my box with the heat lamp, and he was dying. I said, all right, well, we don't have time to butcher him now, but he'll be warm when we come home. If he dies, at least he was comfortable. Well, we came home and he was still alive.
And we pulled in the driveway and he was like,
talking, like, hey guys. The next day, he was still alive.
Walking
we're dealing with pigs birthing and fencing and everybody's out everywhere. So still hadn't butchered him.
He'd gone through his feed, gone through his water.
By that evening, he had decided, all 6 pounds of him, to jump out of his box and live in my garage then officially. And anybody who went out there, he'd walk up to them. My daughter says we should make a movie about him. The Cornish that was so friendly, nobody wanted to kill him.
But at this rate, our entire house is just going to be like chickens and pigs and all the animals are running around living inside human
quarters. He's still fine, I assume, because I'm like, nope, I am not feeding this chicken in the house. We're going back up with the other chickens.
We're not
going
to have a pet pig and a pet Cornish crossed.
No, sorry.
Oh, man. What a week. Yeah. So concludes our new segment.
Everything that's been happening.
Diseases I learned about on home study. I'm gonna make a little video sweeper.
And hopefully it means you won't have the same thing happen to your chickens or your cows or whatever you're dealing with. Now I think Monique is on. She was earlier. Monique from Australia.
Yeah,
Monique,
we have a fantastic question.
Maybe
that we're
you're still
with you
there, Monique.
Before we get to the question, just to let you remind you, click the link below, join the email list. This episode of our live show is brought to you by the Home Study Pioneers, who have our bonus videos and our bonus courses and all our good stuff. But this week, if you join the email list, everybody's getting access to our bonus How to Do Feeder Pigs course. It's a basic 101 because it's just about raising feeder pigs. So if you're new to pigs and you want to just raise some feeder pigs, click on the link, join our email list. I'll be sending that out later this week. So stay tuned for that. Let's get to our letter.
Yes. Well, first, Dakota wants to know how Grasshopper is. She misses you.
Yeah. We'll have some good cow updates.
She's getting fat and sassy.
Good cow updates later.
Good cow updates. Yeah. She's, I'm afraid, going to whip my butt when I go to train her to milk. So Dakota, there will be many, I think, amusing videos about me milking Grasshopper. She better have a teeny tiny little calf for me because she's a pain in the butt. She's got so much attitude. I don't know where she gets it from.
Jersey, she's the funny one.
Jersey attitude.
I'm going to be working with them again. I'm starting to get, now that our fencing's done, I'm getting all our rotational grazing stuff
ready. So they'll like you again.
And they do. When I move them onto fresh grass every day, they get to be my buddy. So maybe I'll win them over. We have, probably 25 acres out in the field for them to rotationally graze. We got the chicken tractors out in the pasture. We have plenty of room to raise our own meat and milk and all kinds of good stuff. But what happens if you don't have 25, 30 acres? What if you only have a couple, maybe two?
Maybe you're even looking at a property with only a couple.
The question today is
from Monique from Australia, who is on right now.
So is she
hi,
on?
Monique, yes.
Hi, Monique. Let us know in the chat box.
She did. She said she's here.
All right. So Monique, she wanted to know. She is looking at a property right now that she's thinking of purchasing. And we're not going to share the listing with you all because someone will go out and buy it before Monique does.
I mean, I love looking at properties. So
Kay was really excited to do this.
Especially this one's in Australia.
She said this. Let us know in the comment section if you think this would make a good HGTV series, because then we'll pitch it to them and we can have an HGTV show. It's like
House Hunters, but for farms.
Farm Hunters. It's like Homestead Hunters.
And then Austin said you'd just be selling the same farm every 6 months
when they do
people
the follow
got tired
up, right?
of tired of it. Are what you tired it? Of your farm? Okay, let us list it for you
all
now.
Right.
Again.
After 6 months of all their Cornish crosses dying of ascites, they've decided to move back to the city.
Well, Monique wants to move to a farm. She's got all her reasons, and they're great reasons, and she loves the house. The house is perfect for her. The house is really nice. It's very cute.
Yeah, super cute, Monique. But she's a little bit worried about only having 2 acres, whether or not she likes to have meat. She wants to share it with her family, some of her animals. So she wants to know, can she raise enough meat off of the 2 acres for her and her mom a little bit, and some animals. Maybe, like raising some for dog food and that sort of thing. So then she gave us a lot of details that we could consider. She wrote a great email. If you're going to send us questions.
Yes, she's really thinking a lot about this.
Yeah.
The amount of animals, how much they eat, how much she needs to eat of meat. It was a great, lots of details in it, which makes it easier for us to say, yes or no, or really do what you want, but we could give you some input.
Yeah, if you want to send in a question for Ask Homestudy, give us as many details as possible because it helps us formulate a good answer for you and also help a lot of people. That's why we're going to answer Monique's question. I think 2 acres is a reasonable amount of land for a lot of people to be looking for. And the first thing we wanted to say to Monique is, like, 2 acres is great. Mm-hmm. Sometimes bigger is not better. There's a lot of reasons why you don't necessarily want to have 10 acres or 30 acres to care for. When you think about the cost associated with using this land, that fencing job we did, we literally just paid for it in linear feet. So linear feet, for every foot we had to fence, it was another dollar to spend. So with a bigger property comes bigger expense. Mm-hmm.
More and then maintenance.
Think about the time mowing, right?
Because you mow to maintain your fence line. You could say, well, I'm going to put my animals on and I never have to mow. There's always some maintenance on your property.
Yeah.
Buildings come with maintenance and expense.
Yeah. So, Monique, not having a huge amount of acreage is not a bad thing. A time efficiency, the time, every minute we spend mowing the field is another minute we can't be working with the animals. So not having a huge property is not a bad thing. But now let's kind of zoom in and say, is 2 acres or even less, is that enough for somebody to raise meat and then also in addition to the meat have some other stuff, animals and that sort of thing. So back in Connecticut, our homestead was 10 acres, but we were really only actively using like 2.
It was maybe 10 acres, but it was mostly mountainside, really.
Yeah. And even the 2 we were using were not like really good pasture.
No.
We looked at some of the pictures, and Monique does have an area in this property she's looking at that is could be a nice field. And I think with some care and some maintenance and definitely having livestock on it, but moving through it, it could improve. It doesn't look like great pasture.
But right I now. Think she was very reasonable in saying she knows she can't get a cow. There are some places where 2 acres would support a cow, but not this one. She's in a drier area.
Yeah, and right now the condition.
You don't want to be bringing in lots of hay.
Sure, you could always bring in hay and have a cow in a small area, but if you don't want to do that, if you're trying to keep, you know, just feeding off what you
got. Yeah, not worry about bringing in all this stuff.
So with 2 acres, back in Connecticut, we had dairy goats. We did have a cow with 2 acres, but we did supplement her diet with a lot of hay. We raised chickens and we raised
pigs
and all sorts of other animals. So for the smaller size homesteads, if you're looking to do meat, you're looking to do livestock, first off, you get a lot of bang for your buck with the smaller livestock like chickens and rabbits. Now, one of the ways Monique was great in her email, she told us kind of like her preferences. And she didn't really like the idea of doing like Cornish crosses in like a chicken tractor or rabbits, right?
Yeah, but she liked the idea of more of a heritage breed that you can go out one day and butcher one chicken and have it for a meal.
So absolutely on a smaller homestead, having some good heritage breed birds where you can do the dual purpose thing and literally, as Monique talked about in her email, kind of just pick one for the week and butcher it. Mm-hmm. That's the way we've been each morning, going out and finding a couple Cornishes and just butchering them. And we don't do as a nice butcher job. We don't pull the plucking machine out for that. But we still get a really good product, really good yield. So, yeah, Monique, getting what's the breed that we have that we like?
The Sussex.
We have a breed of Sussex.
And I'm sure you've got something in your area there. Nice, big, heavy breed of a heritage chicken.
Yeah, they have good egg laying, good meat. Dual purpose are never going to do the best at either.
Yeah, you're looking at a different thing. You're looking at something that doesn't have... Cornish are like a ticking time bomb where you have to butcher them by a certain point. The heritage aren't. So
yeah.
You have more flexibility. You don't have to butcher everybody at one time.
Yeah.
Which is nice for if that's your lifestyle, if that's what you want to do.
Now, rabbits would be fantastic. You can get a ton of protein off of rabbits and you can do that quickly. However, if you're in Australia, there is that virus in the soil. So you're not going to do too well with rabbits on the dirt. We've talked to other people from Australia and New Zealand. They had that rabbit problem, so they made that virus that kills the rabbits. And you're just not going to be able to fight that very easily.
It's my juice.
Every time.
So they made a virus to kill the rabbits?
I don't know the details about it. Better not
Australia.
Say too much about
Everything
it.
Everything kills you, even the government.
Even the government. You better check my
this
facts on that.
This may not one, be true. Welcome to when I was talking, true or false.
When I was interviewing Dana about meat raising meat rabbits, she was the author of the Raising Meat Rabbits book. She talked about it's hard to raise rabbits in a colony. She's in New Zealand. I believe she's in New Zealand. But it's hard to raise because of the virus. They have this virus in the soil.
That may or may not have been given to them by the government.
Yeah, the government's behind it all. But rabbits in a hutch do well. You could do that if that's something that you wanted to do. Now, if you don't want to do rabbits, you don't want to do Cornish crosses, what are some other ways from a small acreage to get a lot of protein?
Sheep, goats.
And those are kind of where
Monique... Kangaroo? Are you asking me?
Camels are totally an option for somebody in Australia.
Now that's true.
And they actually do well on...
They're
we didn't
very
even think of
inexpensive.
Camels. How could we not think of camels? Monique, you totally need a camel on your 2 acres.
I don't say that, Ost. Don't do it. Not yet.
Okay, don't rush into camels. But in Australia, you can get a camel for very low, like $500, you can get a nice camel. So anyway, sheep are a great idea, we were thinking, for Monique, because you can use a couple sheep, you can rotate them. With 2 acres, you could totally do rotational grazing. And on that 2 acres, the way it looked right now, it could use some rotational grazing. Animals, when properly managed, and Karen L. is here with us today, she can confirm this. She literally works every day. Well, I don't know, F every day out there. I'm going to make Karen get out there and work every day, Karen. But all the time, she's out helping farmers with their grazing strategy. Animals properly managed on pasture will improve the pasture. And the pasture that you have right now definitely needs improved. So a couple little sheep, also a couple little goats. Goats are good dual purpose. You get some milk and get some meat off of them, and that was something Monique was interested in. Moving them around, even if you don't get too crazy, if you just take that big square field and kind of go 4 quadrants and just keep moving them, give the soil time to rest, and then maybe have a dry-off lot where if everything needs to rest, you can pull them off and keep them in an area that, you know, you can feed them hay and that sort of thing.
Yes. Yeah,
so you definitely improve the
sheep
situation.
Sheep would be great. Goats, pigs. Did you say pigs?
We didn't talk about pigs yet.
Making
pigs
sure
great
your zoning allows for it. And is Ben.
Get to that in a second. That's great.
Hold that thought. Also, try feeders. So don't get into this thinking like, I need rams. I need to breed these sheep. I need to have little babies. Give yourself a win that first year. Buy some feeders.
Yeah.
Even feeder pigs. Buy yourself 2 feeder pigs. That is one of the easier ways to get into it. So you, in whatever situation you are, if you're single, you don't have to worry about the male animals. Nothing's getting too big for you to handle.
Yeah, that's a great bit of advice. With pigs, if you get feeders, maybe a smaller heritage breed, although they can still be very big and very powerful. I just went, if you haven't seen the video already, go and watch the Mouse Creek Farm interview, Idaho Pasture Pig video. There you'll see how at Mouse Creek Farm, all the feeding is done for the boars from behind a wall.
Because Kirsten and anybody, you really shouldn't go in with huge pigs when you're feeding them.
You know, right? How's
your
bruise looking?
Setting yourself up. It's almost over.
Oh, it's not even bruised anymore.
It still hurts a little, though. And he wasn't being aggressive. I was just in the fray.
Yeah. Yeah. Nobody
if
should be
alone. If you can avoid
in
having
with
to go
the
in with
pigs.
Those animals, yeah.
So set yourself up a little, maybe a little concrete pad with some good solid fencing and a lower fencing that you can, you know, take a bucket and pour it into a feeder from the opposite side. If you're doing this alone, without somebody there to pull you out of the pig pen should you fall down, that's a great way to do pigs. Pigs are an awesome way to get a lot of meat from a small homestead.
And Karen said don't do too much at first, which is always, always good advice.
Yeah, if you've watched Homesteady for like 10 minutes, you know, we're all about slow and steady.
Infrastructure first.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Oh, man. Wait till next week's show. Just wait till next week's show. Oh, man. How's that for a little cliffhanger?
That means...
next week.
We give you thumbs up for those 2 acres. If that's, it's going to put you in a good position. Do what you want to in your life, your house and your 2 acres.
Don't forget, too, a couple other cool ideas for the small acreage. fish ponds, even if they're little man-made ponds, you can get a ton of protein from a little fish pond. I would love to do a little fish pond here, but I have to wait till all my human children, they're all going thumbs up. Once all my human children are old enough to totally swim without worry, then I can have a fish pond.
And you prove yourself with fish.
Have a swimming test.
I don't think...
No more aquaponics. No more aquaponics.
No, just fish, not swimming. Prove yourself with fish care. Are two goldfish from the hydroponic system or aquaponics,
whatever it was,
years
fish.
Ago that I've been taking care of ever since, finally died.
They were Connecticut goldfish.
They finally died.
Yeah, R.I.P. We should have made a video for them. They were like a main... They beat ladybug. Two goldfish. R.I.P.
I mean, with us.
What?
They lived with us as long as longer than ladybug. Who knows how old they were?
You don't...
Who knows how old they were compared to ladybug? I don't know. Who knows?
If you cut a goldfish in half and you count the rings, you can find out how old they are. And the government made the diseases that killed the rabbits.
Maybe.
I think
just
they did.
Just don't say
I really
that
think
without
they did.
Knowing for sure.
I gotta Google it right now.
No, but thank you, Ben Newman, for encouraging that.
So thank you for that super chat, Ben. Just so you guys know, any super chats we split with our, the kids are celebrating right now. They're tips for our production crew.
Please don't say his hair looks great.
If you're going to give us a super chat
and you want to accompany it
with a compliment on any of the facial hair, I will accept.
I will accept. That's blood money right there.
So thank you, Ben. Very, very nice. And I hope that helps Monique.
She doesn't eat fish.
Oh, man. All right. Well, Monique, you're going to be a sheep and
goat. And pig.
And pig. Now... She did mention she wasn't able to do Cooney Coonies.
Yeah.
But Cooney
feeders,
Coonies.
You know, find some feeders.
Yeah, and if you're looking for like a smaller, there are lots of pig breeds out there. So find a more docile, known for docility
and...
Chillness.
Yeah.
Yeah, look for the chillest pig you can find. And that also could be in not just the breed, but in the line. So find a good pig
breeder.
Find your mentor, find your Kirsten or your Tom.
They can also direct you to the slaughterhouses you need.
Oh, this is one more great point we had.
Yes.
Do it. Go for it. Before you get into all these things, make sure you have a slaughterhouse. Because that can be a big problem if you're not ready to handle that yourself. You could raise all these pigs and be like, all right, I'm ready for butcher day. And nobody's there to do it.
Yeah, even if you have a mobile one that'll come to you, some areas do, would be fantastic.
And a good hay and feed source. Because if you're going to do a lot of livestock on small acreage, you absolutely need to prepare to supplement their feed, their diet. The ruminants, not as much, but you'll still want to have a good hay source if you're going to have ruminants over the winter, which she like doesn't have winter because
it's
gorgeous.
Warm,
why don't we live in Australia? Because everything can kill you.
Because they make viruses to kill rabbits.
So stay alive, Monique. Farm it up, down, and send us updates if you get that property.
Yeah.
That could be the first episode of Homestead Hunters.
Oh, somebody said love it or list it, which I think is a fantastic idea, too. Because they look for properties at the same time. But you can also be, like, fixing up their barn or their fencing. Say, do you still want to stay here? Do you want to move to this other farm? Fantastic.
Guys, we need names.
We need names
for this show. In the chat section, give us a good Homestead Hunters, Love It or Fence It. I want to hear the names.
I've got one that's totally inappropriate.
Oh, man.
Sorry.
Well, okay. We can't do that. This is a family-friendly show. All right.
Farm it or forget it. How's that?
Okay. Ben, have the kids buy Bitcoin so they can buy houses later. Homesteads in Australia. Kids, you just got yourself some more Bitcoin. But you gotta buy Bitcoin with it. And everybody else should be buying Bitcoin
too. Ethereum, Ben? Really?
Come on, Ben. Ethereum right now. We all know that's the next moonshot. or MoonSafe.
Is that a different one?
That's a new one. Safe Moon.
Okay.
Moon's the new latest. Don't buy Safe Moon. I'm totally
joking. So everybody.
Don't get me into crypto. One of these days we'll have a crypto episode.
I won't be on it. All right.
Did we have any questions we can answer while we're here?
Monique, that helped. There were a lot of questions.
Awesome.
Have you looked into pan feeding for piglet? Actually, we have.
So set it up.
Okay, so we're talking about our little piglet, right, who we've been feeding with syringe. The first day with syringe, and then I went to switch him to pan feeding. And I'm not sure if that has helped or made it worse, because he tends to drink with his nose, so he inhales this stuff. And I think that has actually caused him to develop the breathing issue that I'm seeing right now. Poor little guy. My goal is always, if we are helping an animal, that if it comes to the end, that they're comfortable, that they're warm, as fed as they can be, and we don't want to let them suffer at all. So we'll try to keep them happy and healthy as long as we can. Enjoy the time we have with him, because he is a pleasant little guy. His name's Bartok, if anyone has seen the movie Anastasia, the animated one. Because with his little nose, he looks like a little bat. They look kind of bat-like mm-hmm. when they're born, those coonies. They're big ears. So we call him Bartok.
I don't see any other questions.
Somebody asked if our jerseys were loud when they're in heat. The younger ones are. Luna's getting a little quieter as she gets older.
I love quiet animals. Oh!
That is one thing, Monique, you talked about the Nubians, but how you're looking for more quiet in the country, is Nubians can be very loud. There are some quieter breeds of goats. Our La Manchas were quieter. Our Nigerians and Nubians were both pretty loud. Our Saanen was very quiet as well. So remember that about, even sheep can be noisy.
This is a big deal. I totally appreciate some people literally, I mean, For some of us, the reason we're doing like homestead life is for the P and Q, right?
Yeah.
I love, like, I've become very sensitive to noise. My poor children know anytime there's a little bit of noise around me, I'm like, stop it, quiet now, I can't, with the noise. So the animals, I mean, between the guineas, like, endlessly, and then, you know, in the past when we had goats, and we had one goat that used to, every time I'd walk by her, she'd be like,
"Aah!" She'd scream at him. Scream.
It was awful. I sold that goat. I paid a lot of money for that goat. It was a good quality. Spit out five little mini goats in one birth.
Yeah, quads, actually.
Quads. Pew, pew. Got rid of that noisy goat.
She was so loud.
So if noise is an issue, definitely before you make a purchase, if you want some peace and quiet, you got to consider that. And then the other thing I was thinking of is, don't forget, even smaller breeds like the Nigerian dwarf, if you are looking for goats, you can get a lot of milk from even the smaller breeds. So
yeah.
Maybe not as much meat, but we did make Karen a mod, right?
Karen's a mod, thank you.
So thanks,
all
Cindy.
Mods.
Thanks, Karen. And then we also have our in-house mod. We got we dragged Kay's sister into
I'm sure she doesn't
want
you to know that, though.
Yeah, we won't.
We won't say who she is.
We won't say, we'll
but she's always
mystery.
Watching.
Always watching. Thank you.
Always watching.
Whoever's always watching.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I did say I made Karen one. And I saw Jack stepped in for a little bit.
So oh, good.
Mods are always very helpful.
Yes, super helpful. Thank you all for being a part of the live show. I missed it last week when we didn't do it.
A not fun appointment. Dentist.
Yeah. So and also I did the other live show and then we had a crazy week. But
it wasn't that bad. Drama.
Yeah. And thank you all for your support. Thank you, Ben, for the super chats. Like we said, any super chats split with the crew who's over there celebrating. They're going to go buy some Bitcoin.
I haven't seen any of it, by the way. Somebody's hair and kids are getting all of the attention here.
I think, the studio gets all the rest of the super
chats.
I got to fix this weird blue thing. I got to buy like a blue filter.
Yeah, so we're nice and tan in one shot and not
go to
so
the tan shot again. There's the tan.
Oh, man, you look great. Instantly. You look so healthy.
So vibrant and healthy. Now go to the I have pneumonia or ascites. Ascites!
And it doesn't help that we both wore blue.
And I have water belly. Oh, no, it's the ascites.
The only way to know for sure is to cut you open.
All right, with that, we're going to shut this one down. We'll see you guys next week.